John Lennon, The Man I Knew, a speech by Rabbi Abraham L. Feinberg. In what age is it conceivable that the unique and separate worlds of a 70-year-old reform rabbi and a 28-year-old millionaire larger-than-life pop music megastar could possibly collide, bringing the two together in friendship and in trust? Perhaps only in the 1960s, the age of social and political upheaval, counterculture, and strange bedfellows, could the way have been paved for this unlikely encounter to occur and for this relationship to develop. Continuing a trend that began in the 1940s and 1950s, American Jewry took up social justice causes with a passion during the tumultuous decade of the 1960s. Jews, congregations, and rabbis became unabashedly active in the struggle for civil rights, women's equality, and world peace. One of the most active, passionate, and prolific Jewish figures of this period was Rabbi Abraham L. Feinberg. Born in America in 1899, Feinberg led a fascinating career in which he became a successful New York rabbi, left the rabbinate to become a radio star, and returned to the pulpit in 1935, eventually serving Toronto's illustrious Holy Blossom Temple for 18 years before retiring in 1961. Following his years at Holy Blossom, Rabbi Feinberg committed tremendous personal energy and ink to the anti-war movement. His belief that America's fighting in Vietnam was immoral, unwarranted, and tragic took him to Hanoi on a 1967 peace mission with three other clergymen, and in 1969 brought him into contact with the Beatles superstar John Lennon. In a speech entitled "John Lennon, the Man I Knew," delivered on October 29, 1983, at the Center for Religion and Life in Nevada, Feinberg recalls three of his encounters with Lennon. The speech sheds light on why Lennon and Feinberg felt such affection for one another and how, through their unlikely acquaintance, the two found themselves to be kindred spirits. Reflecting upon their initial encounter in May 1969, Feinberg recounts, quote, "The first time I met John Lennon, he was in bed with his wife Yoko Ono." Feinberg is referring, of course, to one of the two famous bed-ins that the Lennons held in their effort to promote peace, this one at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel in Montreal. Feinberg, who says he flew to Montreal, quote, "to judge for myself the sincerity of their peace motivation," attributes his ability to get an appointment with the couple to his own well-publicized peace effort, his 1967 trip to Hanoi, and to John Lennon's, quote, "profound interest in religious doctrine." In what for Feinberg was clearly a highlight of their two-hour visit, Lennon sought the rabbi's input on the song that ultimately became what Feinberg calls, quote, "the anthem of the worldwide peace movement, Give Peace a Chance," which Lennon and Feinberg then proceeded to rehearse together that day. The second and third encounters, Feinberg describes in his speech, took place in December 1969 in a Toronto television studio and press room, respectively. Lennon was planning a World Peace Festival in Toronto, and Feinberg undertook to help him with promotion. In the first December encounter, Lennon gave Feinberg his private contact information so that the rabbi would keep him, quote, "honestly informed about the festival's progress." In the second, Lennon named Feinberg as one of two, quote, "lieutenants to supervise and monitor the foundation for peace," to which all proceeds from the festival would go. What engendered such trust, and what was the basis for the deep connection felt between Feinberg and Lennon? Feinberg's speech reveals that the two had quite a bit in common. Feinberg speaks of Lennon as having an, quote, "intense concern for the well-being of all humanity," the same concern expressed in many of Feinberg's writings, calling for an end to the cold, unfeeling militarism that he felt had taken over America. The speech also speaks of Lenin's use of song as, quote, "his weapon in bringing about revolutionary change," an idea that certainly must have resonated with Feinberg, who in 1930 had decided he could be more effective in reaching people through a singing career than through his high-profile pulpit. Feinberg, however, could also relate to the difficulty a young man might have in making sense of his immense popularity and wealth. In his speech, Feinberg recalls his days as a singer, when he could make $1,500 a week in 1933, while all those around him struggled through the Depression. Perhaps what most united these two souls, however, was what the 1960s afforded them both, the opportunity to be a force for meaningful change in the world through the use of their natural talents. Quote, in the Crusade for Peace, Feinberg remarks, Lenin found a reason for being totally himself. Lenin could use his skills as a singer-songwriter and his love of music to achieve the goals in which he believed most deeply and found truly meaningful: peace, love, and freedom. Meanwhile, Feinberg found that the rabbinate of the 1960s had changed significantly from that which had so disappointed him in the 1920s and 1930s. In the 1960s, religion's role in America had become such that an articulate and prolific clergyman like Feinberg could truly make an impact on society. And Feinberg seized this opportunity by speaking out for the causes he believed in most passionately: peace and respect for the sanctity of human life. The 1960s enabled both Feinberg and Lenin to use their voices and their words to effect change, to use their strengths for good, and to unite in their effort to do what Feinberg believed to be, quote, the most crucial and important job ever confronted by man, bringing, quote, peace and sanity to a tumultuous and war-torn world.